I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Anything's possible!
Cleveland! This is for you! Oh. What can I say? Mamba out.
Look, I'm going to need you to hold your applause till later. We don't have a lot of time. Thank you. We've only done, what, 3 episodes this season? I'm going to be for real. This is the worst NBA season ever. There's been so many injuries. It just hasn't been fun. Every time you start to enjoy a player, they get hurt. Or somebody on the team gets hurt. And now it's like, oh, they're sort of taken out of competition. And, you know, it's annoying. Or somebody gets COVID. Or somebody goes to a party that they shouldn't. And it's just annoying. But we made it to the playoffs. Hopefully, this is the last of weird basketball. We come back next October. Well, this October. And things will be back to normal. We tried our play-in games, and I'll get to that in like 2 minutes. But the fact of the matter is we're filming this on, well, filming. We're recording this on the first day of the playoffs. It is Saturday, whatever the fuck the date is. We're here. We got 3 games today? 4 games? I know we have 4 tomorrow. I'm going to miss some of them because I'm going to go shoot with my homies. But we're here. We made it. The play-in games were a mixed bag, but we got 2 classics. Both involved the Warriors. And I told people this whole season, I'm like, look, I may hate Steph Curry and hate the Warriors with every ounce of my body, but I enjoy good basketball. And they were the most exciting team this whole season. What made it even better is that they weren't necessarily a very good team. So I got to see them lose as well, but they were also entertained. And I respect them for that. They had to play the Lakers in their first play-in game. LeBron hits a 30-footer on Steph Curry. It was everything I could have wanted. Well, the only thing that could have been better is if he wasn't wearing a Lakers jersey while he did it. But, you know, I gotta get over that. Probably never will. And we get Memphis versus the Warriors. And I told people all yesterday, I love what the Warriors have done this season, but it ends tonight. And that's how it went down. Ja Morant, 30-plus points. Steph had his 40 as well. I just felt like the Grizzlies were a better team. And I told people that, you know, a week ago. I was like, the Grizzlies are a better team. The Warriors have the best player in this matchup. Now, if Ja Morant does what he's supposed to do and takes over in certain moments down the stretch, it'll be fine. And that's exactly what happened. Memphis Grizzlies are now the 8th seed. Steph Curry is, I believe, he's the first, you know, MVP finalist to not make the playoffs since Pistol Pete Maravich. Some similarities in their game. Hey, Steph was 3rd in my MVP race. Embiid was 2nd, and Jokic is going to win that. I'm sorry, Steph, but this was exactly what I wanted. This was fantastic. You put on a hell of a show. The turnovers came, you know, eventually bit y'all in the ass. That's what it is. I'm sorry, but when all the chips are on the table, Steph Curry doesn't have the best resume. Okay, he's won some regular season games where it's like, okay, we can either go to overtime or you hit this crazy shot and we get the fuck out of here. That's cool. At the end of the day, it kind of means nothing. When the chips are on the table, I don't want him playing the hand. And that's all I'll say about Steph. It was a great season. He got hot down the stretch and, man, played some of the best basketball I've ever seen. I told people you still had it. I put so much respect on your name that it made me sick, and I'm done. You're done. So there's no need to talk about you anymore. Now that we have our standings for the playoffs, I can finally enjoy myself. I had my guess of what the West would be, and I called it right. I had Memphis at 8 and the Lakers at 7. Did I call the East right? No, I did not. I really thought Charlotte was going to be in. I was wrong. It'd be like that. Let's just go through the West matchups right now, because we don't have a lot of time. The game started at 2. We're doing this at 12:49. As usual, I'm the last man. Utah versus Memphis. Look, I love how both of these teams play as a unit. I just can't see the number one three-point shooting team get eliminated in the first round to a bunch of young bucks. Do I think Memphis can win a game or maybe even two? Yeah, but I wouldn't put my money on it. I would not be surprised if they do, though. Those young scraps deserve to be here. They go hard every night. Sometimes a little misguided, but that's okay. They're young. This is the typical, you know, this is Dallas last year where we're like, Luka just should get some playoff experience and show us what he's got. And he went out and hit a buzzer beater and we're like, yeah, okay, he's here. More on him in a second. I'm expecting the same thing for Ja. He was my favorite player in that draft class. I'm happy that he's finally in the playoffs. You know, people didn't think he would get here, but I did. I like that team a lot. I also like that they got rid of Gorgui Dieng. I'm like, yeah, see, he's trash. Tyus Jones is still there. Dylan Brooks, you know, he may foul a shit ton, but he does everything. He's, in my opinion, him and Ja are the identity of this team. Jonas Valanciunas, he was underused in Toronto, in my opinion, or just misused. They have players that I really like. Jaren Jackson, you know, I was a bigger fan of him coming into his career. I've kind of, you know, fallen off of him a little bit, but, you know, coming back from the injury, he has not been very good. I don't expect that to change playing against Utah, but I still think he'll be a valuable role player in the future. What I'm trying to get at is that they need this experience right now if they're going to continue this cohesion they have. If they're going to continue to be better as a unit, at this point, they've reached the cap of what the regular season can do for them. Sure, they'll probably rank higher next year in the standings, but a lot of it has to go to what they do in these playoffs. They're going to learn a lot about themselves. They're going to learn a lot about this league. That being said, I got the Jazz winning this. 4-0 or a gentleman's sweep? But if Memphis pulls out 2 games, I really like where they're headed, even more than I did before we got here. Next. Who do we have? It'd be the 4-5 Denver versus the Mavs. I believe I have this set up. No. I have this set up wrong. I forgot. I made this list a week ago or a week and a half ago before we got before we got that crazy shit that the Clippers pulled, which I guess there's no better time to talk about it now. What the fuck, man? The Clippers purposely tanked, I guess you want? Yeah, I guess that's what we gotta call it. They purposely tanked so that they could avoid the Lakers. So they could be on the opposite side. Because they were the third seed. It's kind of weird. I don't know if that's cool. It reminds me of, you know, growing up, we had to do the dishes, me and my sister, and we rotate weeks. So when I would see, oh, Thanksgiving's coming up, and that would land on my week, the penalty was if you miss one day of dishes, then you have to do the next week. So you have back-to-back weeks. So I would see Thanksgiving would fall on my week, and I'm like, okay. And it'd be a month in advance. I'm like, let's shift the tide. Let's skip a day. Take a day off, get penalized. We'll do this for 2 weeks. And then, you know, Thanksgiving will fall on her. Totally fucked up, but that's just how it was. And that's what the Clippers have done. They were like, let's just lose. Let's avoid the Lakers. And, you know, some people are saying that's a sign of weakness. And I agree with that. I also think that it could potentially be a very smart idea. You know, this forces the Lakers to play the Suns, which, you know, Chris Paul doesn't have the best playoff record. I don't know what the Suns can do. We'll talk about that later. But, you know, it's a little murky. Suns might be able to pull that out. And, you know, then the Clippers look very smart. But if the Lakers win, they would go on to play whoever wins the Denver-Portland series, which I think would be Denver. And now, you know, the Lakers got to play the MVP of the league, which I think Anthony Davis is very well suited to play against him. So, yeah, you would still, if the Clippers, you know, win all their matchups, we would still get the Battle of L.A. Maybe all this was for naught. Maybe you could have got this out of the way sooner before the Lakers really catch their stride. But from what I saw against the Warriors, they can turn that shit on whenever they want, especially LeBron. And I think he's already in stride. But anyway, we have Clippers versus Dallas. Again, I think it'll go the same way. You know, people be like, Porzingis is playing this time. This makes a difference. Porzingis has to show me something. He has shown me nothing. You know, even before, like, he left New York, before he forced his way out or whatever he may say about it, he just didn't, you know, show me that he's taking the next step. If anything, he's regressed a bit. We don't think about him, you know, as an all-star anymore. That's what we thought about him. Now we just think about him as this often injured, very good player. I don't know if the fit works with him and Luka. I just don't know. There's been times where, you know, Porzingis was just taken out of games and the Mavs played better in the fourth. I can recall a game like that, you know, down the stretch of the season. I don't know what to make of it. But I do know what to make of this matchup. I got the Clippers winning this 4-2. I just think the constant badgering of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. I really hope the attitude of this Clippers team is different than last year. You have to keep your foot on people's necks. And that doesn't mean you're going to sweep them. Doesn't mean you're going to get the gentleman sweep. But hopefully it means you aren't up 3-1 and you surrender. So yeah, hopefully Sun has, you know, been gained from that ass whooping they took from the Nuggets a year ago. But we'll see. But yeah, I got Clippers 4-2 there. Denver versus Portland. You know, Dame has been talking. He's like, look, they're not at full strength. And you know, Portland, you know, got better towards the end of the season. They had a little, you know, players only meeting. And I didn't think it would do much for them. But they did play better basketball. And they are at full strength. Surprisingly, that doesn't happen often for them going into the playoffs. I believe Nurkic is okay. I'm not sure what you do with Whiteside in this matchup. I think him playing any minutes against Jokic is a bad idea. Nurkic versus Jokic, former teammates. I think that's a fun matchup. And when we got this 2 years ago, I believe Portland won that. And I heard people being naysayers towards Jamal Murray and Jokic. And I'm like, say what you will about Murray, but Jokic is going to be a superstar. And now he's winning MVP. I've seen it for this guy as far back as 2016, 2017. And I'm glad he's proven me right. Best passing big man since Bill Walton. And he's doing it at probably the same height. You know, say Bill Walton was 7 foot, but I'm pretty sure he was. And he does it with a shot as well. You know, he gets flack for his defense, but he's actually better than you. Like, if you're still saying that he's a bad defender, you're subscribing to old theories. Don't do that. Watch the game. Have your own opinion. Get NBA League Pass and watch this man hold his own out there more times than not. Just because he doesn't have that crazy, you know, physique of a defender, those instincts that always kick in, doesn't mean he's not a solid defender. He is. He's not a good teetering on great, but he holds his own. I can say the same thing about Trae Young. Much better on defense this year. If you're still saying he's the worst defender in the league, look at the numbers. You looked at him a year ago. Look at him now. Kind of off topic here, but I'm still going to go with Denver winning this. Despite, you know, Jamal Murray not being there. I think this is going to be a huge coming out party for Michael Porter Jr., who is also a better defender this season than he was last year. So if you are still subscribing to that, you did not watch basketball. You do not look at numbers. You are still going off of last year's playoffs. A lot has changed. His man has matured. I don't think we'll have incidents like we did last year where he was, you know, speaking out his mouth to vets. For a multitude of reasons. One, I think he's mature. Two, he's got to be the guy now. He's got to be the 1B to Jokic 1A. He's got to step in Jamal Murray's shoes, and he's done that. I believe he's averaged 24 or more since Murray had that injury. I do think they're going to miss some scoring off the bench. But I don't want to see Jokic go, 2000? I forgot what year it was. Whatever year Dirk won MVP and he gets bounced out the playoffs in the first round. Hey, if it happens, damn, that fucking sucks. Because Denver was the team I picked before the injuries to represent the West in the finals. But I have them winning this. I have this going 4-2 as well. If it goes to 7, I will not be surprised. But if it goes less than 4-2, Michael Porter Jr. has arrived. Mark my words. That is why the series will go 4-1 or we get a sweep. It's because Michael Porter Jr. is here. What do we have next? We would have, the fun one. Phoenix versus Los Angeles. We get that later today. I can't miss that. What is it? It's 1 o'clock now. Game's kicking off at 2. We gotta hurry this up. This is a difficult one. I have no notes on this. I have notes for every matchup. I have no notes on this. I don't know what to make of it. I love how the Phoenix Suns are put together on paper. I love how the Los Angeles Lakers are put together on paper. Monty Williams, coach of the year. He already won it. He was my pick. You know, you could argue Tibbs, and honestly, I think they could have split the award up. They both deserve it. But, you know, I'm corny like that. Frank Vogel impressed me so much last year in the playoffs, and he impressed me the other night against the Warriors. The matchups, the adjustments, all of that. He is the opposite of Mike Budenholzer, which I'll get to him in a minute as well. He just makes these adjustments, maybe on the fly, maybe after a game. You won't see the same thing. If it didn't work, you won't see it. You will see something new, and I appreciate that in a coach, because there's some coaches, and I've already said one name, there's a bunch more, that don't make those adjustments on the fly or don't make them at all, and they keep their team out of winning big games and definitely out of playoff series. A lot of respect for the coaching staff of both teams. A lot of respect for the talent pool on both teams. LeBron James is back. Anthony Davis is going to kick it into the gear that he needs to. He is still the X factor for this team. But I will say, there's another X factor. Dennis Schroeder has been an X factor on every team he's been on. When he is going off or just doing what he needs to be doing and not making stupid mistakes, his teams have a very good chance of winning the game. More times than not, they do. More times than not, they're successful or they overachieve. I need Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder to kick it in the gear for them to win this series. If they both play lackluster, I don't know if LeBron is enough to shoulder the load here. I think Jay Crowder is going to do his best against an aging LeBron. I think he's going to do well enough. But if AD and Dennis Schroeder aren't doing their thing, I have the Suns winning this. If neither one of them show up, that's just how it's going to be. But if one of them, preferably AD, can kick it into gear like he did at the end of the regular season against the Suns, had that, what, he had 40 and 12 or something like that, had three steals, three blocks as well. If he can feast upon the big men that they have, this is an easy one. This is a 4-1 series. A little harsh to say that about a second seed, but it all, as it did last year, it comes down to AD. This is nothing against what the Phoenix Suns are capable of. It's just what AD is capable of, and he needs to show it. Let's continue with the West. So my second round matchups will be Utah versus the Clippers. This is a really fun one. I think it's, you know, I haven't seen too much of a culture shift with the Clippers. I sort of think they are still the same team as last year. You got rid of some knuckleheads. You got a new coach. I hope they can just find this fire to light underneath Paul George. He is obviously, once again, the X factor for this team. Every team has one. This one's, it's obviously Paul George. And it's really going to come down to his defense against Donovan Mitchell. Kawhi as well. Now you have, this Utah Jazz team is no slouch. You have two candidates for sixth man of the year, and Joe Ingles and Jordan Clarkson. This is the best three-point shooting team in the league. You have a defensive player of the year candidate. This is a very well put together team. You have a coach of the year candidate in Snyder. This is a very well put together franchise. And I don't think the Clippers are put together as well. Of course, they have the star power. But when I just think about the mentality of this team, mentally, I think they're just weaker. I really need them to show me something different. If Paul George can lead, then yeah, there's really no emotional leader here. It's definitely not Kawhi. Paul George isn't really that guy. He's more of a, you know, he's emotional for himself, not for his team. And then you look over at the Jazz and you see Donovan Mitchell. And like, I've given him praise many, many times where I think he's the guy I want to go to war with. He'll move the rock. He'll take over when necessary. He'll hype us up. He'll be at the baby's christening. He's just a very good guy, very good teammate, the best teammate out of these two teams. And I believe the Jazz go as he goes. There's no leader for the Clippers. Is it Tyronn Lue? Really? Is it Serge Ibaka? I don't know. I think the Jazz will, if the Clippers are still as weak in the head as they were a year ago, I could see this going 4-1 and we're like, we got to tear it down in LA. Out of respect, I'll go, I won't give them a gentleman's sweep. I'll say 4-2 Jazz, but I would love if this went to 7, but I'm going 4-2 Jazz here. Don't be surprised if it's less. Be hype if it's more. Who doesn't love game sevens? What do we have next out here? It would be Denver versus the Los Angeles Lakers. I said it earlier. This matchup all comes down to Anthony Davis and Jokic. How many times do I got to say it that Anthony Davis is X factor? How many times do I got to tell you that Nikola Jokic is the MVP of the league? It all comes down to that matchup. If you can disrupt Jokic, one, you take away 20 plus points. You maybe take away some boards as well. But primarily, you take away their playmaker, the guy who gets everybody involved. And that's a key part for like the very talented teams. Like, I don't know if you can do that to LeBron. I don't think there's a guy on the Jazz who can, you know, take away the playmaking that LeBron gives to the Lakers. And that's That's the big problem right there. You can maybe take away the playmaker for the Jazz. I don't think you can do that for the Lakers. You can't do that to them. So I'm going to go Lakers here. I can't give you... I wish I had some paper to crumple up. Load the Jimmy Butler gift. I don't know what to tell you what the matchup is going to be. I don't know what the numbers are going to be. 4-3, whoever. Maybe it's a sweep. I don't fucking know. I just know I want to watch that series now, and I really hope we get it. I'm pretty sure we will. All right, that was surprisingly quick for that one. Okay. For the second time, I'm predicting the Battle of LA. And it took me 15 minutes to give you no answer a year ago. It'll take me 2 to give you an answer right now. It'll take me 2 seconds. It's not going to happen. I know people have it marked down that a Battle of LA is going to happen. It's not. And I really want to do 20 minutes of why it's not going to happen. But I've already given you 10 minutes of the matchups that the Clippers have. I'll leave it at that. But it's been frustrating me because I watch so much YouTube and I've been holding it until I got to this point. The Battle of LA is not going to happen. Totally different mindsets over there. Yeah, the Clippers want to be there, but at the end of the day, can I just sum it up like this? They are the Los Angeles Clippers. Move the team out of LA. Move the team. Just cut it out. Move it. Inglewood Clippers. I like that. Anyway, it's not going to happen. I think I did my 2 minutes on why it's not. We'll leave it at that. Jazz versus Lakers. This is the matchup people should want. This is a good one. This reminds me of Heat versus Lakers in the finals. You have the best shooting team in the league versus the most talent. Well, you have the Nets. But one of the more talented rosters in the league. LeBron James, AD versus Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. Yes, that does not sound good on paper. I understand that. But I think this is going to be the matchup where we're like, damn, how much is Donovan Mitchell getting paid? It should probably be more than that. I think he signed that contract a little early. Imagine a millionaire complaining about 20 more M's. This is the matchup that I think will shock people over how competitive it will be. And I'll just be sitting there like, how? How are you confused? You didn't see this coming. Number one defense. Oh, I hit my mic. Number one defense versus number one shooting. From 3-point stripe, of course. I don't know. Now I feel like when I did the Battle of LA last year, well, when I thought that was going to happen, I don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen here. Let's just base it off of what I said earlier, where I said this reminds me of the finals last year. Key differences, Rudy Gobert isn't close to the playmaker that Bam Adebayo is, but Bam Adebayo didn't have a moment at all. He got hurt, and there was really, even when he came back, he just seemed shook. Rudy Gobert is 100%, which is what I predict. What does this do to, you know, attacking the rim? Which the Lakers do like to do. I think that takes that all away. So this is going to come down to LeBron James. He'll, you know, I said AD is the X factor for this Lakers team. He is. But if we get this series, which obviously I think will happen, it all comes down to LeBron James. If the Lakers are going to win this, LeBron James has to get those shooters going, because whatever's going to happen in the paint isn't going to be easy. It's Rudy Gobert. We like to put a lot of disrespect on his name, and, you know, I'm for it. But I'm not going to put disrespect on his game. What he's good at, which is one thing. You can hype up the other things he's good at. Yes, yes, yes. I like trivial shit as well. But his bread and butter is protecting the paint. I think if you take away that attack that the Lakers can do, and you force those guys to stay out at the perimeter, it's going to come down to LeBron getting those guys open. And it's LeBron James. I really think he can do it. Will it be enough? Well, it comes down to those guys hitting those shots. If that's the case, that they are hitting them, I say they win it. But you know who is going to hit their shots? The Utah Jazz. The perimeter defense of the Lakers, they're going to have to swarm those guys out there. AD switching is going to be key on the defensive end. Alex Caruso, he's so annoying out there. He doesn't get enough respect on the defensive end. They're going to have to swarm as much as they can on that perimeter. Because those shots, YMCA Inglis, he'll knock them Johns down. And that second unit of Jazz is very good. Like I said, 2 6-man of the year candidates. Jordan Clarkson does his thing. Lakers have a good bench as well. I guess it'll come down to perimeter offense for the Lakers and perimeter defense of the Lakers. And whose bench has it? And I'm teeter-tottering between the two. I think the Jazz bench is better. I think the Lakers perimeter defense will have very good results against the Jazz, but I still like their shooter's ability, so that's a null right there. And when it comes to getting into the perimeter, I think that's gone, but the perimeter offense of the Lakers could be set up very well. It's LeBron James. So I'll get a Lakers a point there. That's 1-1 each. I don't know where to go with this, guys. Fuck it. It goes to 7. And we get a classic. That's what I want. Who will win that 7th game? If I was a betting man, and I am, I'm going to put my money on the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah. Gotta give him the credit on this one. Won a title last year. I gotta go with the defending champs. I guess we could do the East now. What time is this? 1:20. It's 1:20. All right, we got 40 minutes till tip off, or 45. You know the NBA works on nigga time. First matchup, we have Sixers versus Washington. This is a fun matchup. But I think it comes down to two things. The beef between Russell Westbrook and Joel Embiid, that's going to be fun. But the deciding factor here is that the Washington Wizards have the top two players in turnovers per game. Russell Westbrook, and I forgot who their backup guard is. European nigga, can't say his name. Couldn't even pronounce it if I read it. But something's wrong there. You can't have the two leading players when it comes to turnovers. You can't have them on your roster. It's bad enough you have one and he's a gun. Your guy off the bench has no business being a gun. So how is he turning the ball over this much? I say it comes down to coaching. I think Scott Brooks is the inferior coach in this matchup. I give all praise to the Sixers in this matchup. It's a sweep. I want Russ to do his thing. I want him to fully take over in this matchup. I want him to shoot his team into, getting close to winning a game down the stretch and then completely do what he does best. Shoot them out of it at the last second. That's what I'm predicting to happen. 6-4, that's a sweep. Not just saying that because I'm biased. I've looked at this matchup for a minute because I thought it was going to happen weeks ago. I was right. Shouts out to the Wizards for making there. Apparently at a 0.4% chance of making the playoffs about a month ago. 0.4% chance. That's crazy. Yeah, it was a good run. It's over. See, that was quick. Now, this matchup is one I'm excited for. The 4th seed Knicks versus 5th seed Hawks. So, obviously, the Knicks have home court advantage. They're selling out. They've already sold out the Garden. They've been clowning the Nets for not being a sellout. Barclays for this. Knicks basketball, a lot of those fans don't have to act like they like the Nets anymore. They can come back to the Garden. A lot of people are saying that the Hawks might actually win this one because of their supreme firepower. And I'm corny because I just appreciate defense more than anything. I should be picking my Hawks. I should be biased and pick them, but I can't be. I always go with my gut. I'm going to go with the New York Knickerbockers on this one. Julius Randle, most improved player. I have him first team All-NBA. I know. Yeah, it's weird, ain't it? Tibbs should share that Coach of the Year trophy with Monty Williams. It's okay. We all saw what he did. The mecca of basketball is, I won't say popping again, but they're excited. And they have every right to be. This matchup comes down to one player. Well, two things. And they're all on the Hawks. I believe the Knicks should bully these niggas. But let me start with Trae Young. If he can get to the line, like he can do, as he has been known to do, not consistently, but he has been known to get to the line an annoying amount of times. If he can do that, I like the Hawks' odds a little more. More importantly, if his running mate, Bogdanovich, if he can continue to be as hot as he has been towards the end of the season, then I see no reason why the Hawks shouldn't win this. Those are ifs. I'm fairly certain the Knicks will continue to play the style of basketball they have played all season, the style that Tibbs has battered into their heads, the style that Julius Randle has upheld, the style that, you know, Emmanuel Quickley has continued to be productive in. RJ Barrett has taken a leap that I did not see for him. I thought he was going to be a bust. You know, this means a lot to these Knicks fans. And I see this matchup going to 6 or 7. I don't know who's going to win this series, but I do see it not being a sweep or a gentleman's sweep. This will go to 6 or 7. Everybody, get your popcorn ready. You are going to get your money's worth. You're going to not waste your time watching other inferior series. You are going to watch this 4-5 matchup. You are going to watch potentially Trae Young emerge as a star. People be like, oh, he was an all-star a year ago. What have you done for me lately? You're going to watch the New York Knicks try to play like it's the 1999 finals. Try to play like it's that 1999 season where they're just beating the shit out of people. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a clash of these two styles. And I'm very much for it. These two eras. Going to see gritty defense. You're going to see logo threes. You're going to see the best of it all. You're going to see a pick and roll duo that works so well. Trae Young and Clint Capella. Could that be shut down? I don't know. Capella is the best pick and roll finisher. The best setup artist for the pick and roll, can you guess who that is? It's Trae Young. Guess who's one of the other best ones? Bogdanovich. We'll see. DeAndre Hunter's back as well. Look, I'm doing a lot of talking about it, and it sounds like I'm teetering on the Hawks winning this. I'm still going with the New York Knicks. Defense beats offense. You must never forget that. speaking of offense, oh no, we're not even at that matchup. We got Milwaukee versus Miami. Look, you know, a year ago, I made a lot of money. A lot of money. In my opinion, a lot of money. Off of Heat versus Bucks. I picked the Heat to win that. Heat had the best, they were the best three-point shooting team in the league. The Milwaukee Bucks were the worst three-point defending team in the league. And I knew that wasn't going to change in the playoffs because, you know, Budenholzer doesn't make adjustments. And I knew that this is a shooter's league. So it made no sense for the Heat to lose. In fact, the team was better when Giannis, they snuck a win when Giannis sat down. But the Bucks have done some different things here, quite to my surprise. You know, they were able to bring back Giannis. I did not see that coming. Especially so soon. They were able to get Bledsoe out of there. And they got Drew Holiday for pennies on the dollar. Shame on you, Pelicans. Shame on you. They were able to make that happen. And once they got Drew Holiday, I knew this was an upgrade defensively. I knew it was an upgrade, you know, offensively. I knew that the team would just be better overall. They, you know, butchered a deal where they could have Bogdanovich. They didn't end up getting him. Like I said earlier, he's on the Hawks. It would have been great to see him there. Not the case. I think this team would have been a lot better if he was, if that was the backcourt. Other than roster moves, they've actually made adjustments defensively, which is a key thing. They are no longer the worst perimeter defending team. They're still not great, but they're middle of the pack. You can't be bottom of the pack in such a serious matter, a serious facet of the game, that, and then assume that you're going to the finals. That doesn't make sense. You're the worst perimeter defending team in a league run by light-skinned niggas who can shoot well. You're not going to win it all. That's just not the case. And what happened? They got beat by some white boys who could shoot the ball very well. Things are different this year. They're still one of the best, you know, interior defending teams. They switch more. They actually fucking switch. They keep Lopez in the post still. But there's more switches with Giannis, which I never understood why you wouldn't do that. And now you have Drew Holiday who can switch on the 1-2s and 3s and hold his own. In fact, I even seen him guard against Kevin Durant towards the end of the season when they pulled out 2-1s against them. And he held his own. He's one of the most respected defenders, one of the most underrated players. There's a reason I wanted him back on the Sixers. Put some respect on his name. You're going to see the difference here. The Heat, you know, other than Boston Celtics, they missed the most games due to COVID. They had players miss the most games due to COVID. Injuries as well that popped up. Goran Dragic is not the same player as he was a year ago. And I kind of saw that coming. No, Butler just took a picture where he's swole again. He's back in, you know, playoff shape. Tyler Herro has cooled off a lot. Bam Adebayo has taken another step after, you know, getting embarrassed by the Lakers. I think this Heat team is gonna put up a fight. But I just have no doubt in my mind that the Bucks are going to win this series. This is a different team. It's going to be a different, you know, outcome. Bucks will win this. I'm going to say a frustrating 4-1. Shit, maybe it goes 7. Who knows? But I'm going to say 4-1. I think if the Heat are going into this thinking it's going to be the same, you're sadly mistaken. That is not the Heat way, though. That's not how they think. But I can just see, I can see it happening. And they're gonna gain gain respect for their opponent too late. What would the next matchup be? It would be Brooklyn versus Boston. I think this is a sweep. I just want to put it out there. I'll spend 30 seconds on this. Boston doesn't really deserve to be here. I think the Wizards are a better team than them. You know, even though they lost in a play-in, whatever. I'll give credit where credit's due to Jason Tatum. He's having a great season. It sucks that Jaylen Brown went down. It sucks that Tristan Thompson is on the team. It sucks that Marcus Smart just acts like a fucking idiot sometimes. And it's just unfortunate. Like I said when I was doing the Heat matchup, Boston has had players miss the most games due to COVID. And they just never really hit the stride. And you know, it's become the narrative that this team doesn't have an identity. And they do have an identity. They're losers with two good players. And neither one of those players are Kemba Walker. I'm going Brooklyn here. Don't be impressed by what Brooklyn does in that matchup. It doesn't matter. I think Washington could beat Boston if they were given seven games. So the matchup for the second round in the East would be Philly versus the Knicks, according to me. That's going to be a bloody matchup. Two of the best defensive teams there. But bet the under for all these games. Make a lot of money. Bet the under on both on every game. Make money. I put all your life savings into the unders for these games. Just do it. You'll come out with a new house, I guarantee it. And your current house paid off. You know, it comes down to star power in this one, I guess. I have Julius Randle being first team all NBA. I don't have Joel Embiid first team all NBA because I'm not putting him at a forward spot. He's not. Jokic is MVP of the league, so he deserves to be first team all NBA. Make no mistake, Joel Embiid is the better player. He's the best player here. The defense is definitely going to be key here. I think Joel Embiid will hold down the paint. I do believe that Ben Simmons matches up well enough against Julius Randle. Matisse Thybulle, Danny Green, I think they handle those, you know, pesky guards and wings that the Knicks have. I don't see a way the Knicks win this. I do think you should bet the under. I do think it'll be fun to watch if you like defense like myself. But down the stretch, I'm going to, you know, fourth quarter, 2 minutes. I got to go Sixers on this one. I like Derrick Rose. I like the weapons that they have on the Knicks. I don't think it's enough. I think the Sixers are a better defensive team. And that's what it's going to come down to. This is a defensive matchup. Who has the better defense? I say the Sixers. It is going to be fun watching Doc and Tibbs go at each other. You know, Tibbs was the assistant for Doc when they won the title for the Celtics. This is going to be a fun matchup. I'm going to go Sixers here. The better defensive team will win this. And a team with more star power should win it. And I think the Sixers check both of those boxes. What do we have next? We would have Milwaukee versus the Brooklyn Nets. And I'm going to go with the Milwaukee Bucks. I've thought about this matchup for a month, a little over a month, if we would get this matchup, and it looked like we were going to get to it. And note I said a month and some change. This has been, I've been thinking about this longer than we saw those, you know, back-to-back games where the Bucks beat the Nets. I wholeheartedly think that Jrue Holiday is one of the best matchups to put on why am I drawing a blank on his name? James Harden. Sorry, no disrespect. And I think he's the catalyst of the team. Like he said yesterday or the other day, it was like, you know, when I was putting up all those stats and I was winning awards, the team still wouldn't win. And he's like, I shot zero times in practice and my team won all their matchups. He is the catalyst. If he gets everybody else going, his team is better. This is really Mike D'Antoni and Steve Nash saying, hey, you remind me of Steve Nash. And Steve Nash saying, you remind me of myself. What if I just put you in my role, but I still let you shoot more threes? You'd be better than I was, no? Because Steve Nash is one of the best shooters of all time. But he was in an era where they just didn't shoot like that. He was 8 years a little too early, or 6 years, whatever. They've adjusted it, and it's like, hey, do what I used to do. Get everybody going. We got stars around you. They'll do their thing. You get everybody else going, and, you know, fall back on shooting some three-pointers. Shooting more than I did. Let's see what happens. And what we have is the best version of James Harden. I put a lot of respect on James Harden. I also am very disappointed in his career so far. But I do like him putting the playmaking for others instead of himself. I really do like that. He's being a playmaker for others, not just himself. That's what matters more. This is a team sport. I try to tell people, you can put up those individual numbers all you want, but if you're not making the players better, you know, the better, making the players around you better, sorry, you're not going to get as far as you should. And I think this is the best version of him because he has adjusted that. And, you know, he was doing that in Houston. So there were certain times he was doing that. But now it's seemed like such a 180. And I just wish he wouldn't have forced his way out of Houston like he did. Because I would definitely be yelling MVP for him. I just can't reward that. As I've said a couple times on this show, I cannot reward that. But I've spent this whole beginning portion of this matchup talking about James Harden. To say this, if Jrue Holiday can take him out or frustrate him, and the switching of Giannis on him as well, then yeah, it's very possible. As far as, you know, Giannis playing Kevin Durant, it's just Godzilla versus Kong. Kong clearly being Giannis, going to attack the rim and just tear everything down, and Kevin Durant shooting laser beams from deep, and there's nothing you can fucking do about either one of those scenarios. Let them fight. As far as James Harden, you can't let him cook for people. If he's cooking and dishing out meals to everybody and the team is eating good, there's a problem. Once again, Jrue Holiday has to do his thing. It's going to take a team effort on any of those three stars, but definitely a team effort on James Harden. Because if you can fuck him up, you fuck up the rest of these guys, Joe Harris's of that team. You can't let them eat and have a good time. Now, the Bucks have a huge advantage when it comes to their size. They need to use that. Because I don't trust Blake Griffin to protect the paint. That's never really been his thing. DeAndre Jordan is not... This isn't Lob City. It's very much far from that. DeAndre Jordan, I always questioned the fact that he was added to the Nets roster. People say, they got a big three. They got KD, Kyrie, and DeAndre Jordan. I was like, who the fuck said that? Blasphemous, as Stephen A. would say. It's ridiculous. Losing LaMarcus Aldridge definitely hurt. I hope he does better in life. Hope he excels. But yeah, I'm going Brooklyn losing this one in seven. I think this is going to be the matchup that we're watching all summer again on NBA Rewind. It's going to be great. I think this goes to seven. Brooklyn will lose this. And I don't think it'll mean much. It would mean more to the Bucks if they lost. If the Bucks lost, this would mean more to them. If the Nets lost, it'd be like, eh. They only played, what, 90 minutes together? With a full, you know, with their full starting five? Okay, you're not supposed to win a title like that. But if they do get to the finals and maybe win a title, only playing 90 minutes in a regular season together with their starting five, well, that just says a lot about the talent that they have and the coaching staff as well. Nash should have been considered for MVP. Nash should have been considered for Coach of the Year as well. But yeah, Bucks and seven. Next, it would be Sixers versus Bucks. I've never feared the Bucks as a Sixers fan, and I will not do so today or tomorrow or next year or whenever. I think the Sixers match up too well against the Bucks. I've probably said it numerous times on this pod. I'm not going to say it again. I'm going Sixers in six there. No pun intended. Build that wall against Giannis. Just all the defenders. There's so many defensive aces on the Sixers. It's annoying. You have Joel Embiid, who will protect the perimeter with that crazy wingspan and instincts. You have the Defensive Player of the Year and Ben Simmons, who people are saying he's having a down season, and he's not. He's actually having his best season. You look at his points per game, and you're like, they're down. You look at his assists per game, you're like, they're down. You look at his rebounds per game, you're like, they're a little down. His usage rate. It's the key part here. His usage rate is down. It's at his lowest it's ever been. So he's doing less with the ball. He has the ball less. But on the defensive end, he's the best defensive player in the league. And when he does have the ball in his hands, he's the best on a fast break. And nobody sets up three-point shooters better than him. Check the stats. He's number one there. So, stop the Ben Simmons slander. Cut it out. Matisse Thybul is in the Defensive Player of the Year race. He's probably fifth, but still. And then Danny Green still has all the instincts. May not have the legs under him like he used to, but all the, you know, off-ball defensive shit is still there. Him reaching, you know, in for deflections as well, disrupting pass lanes is still all there. I don't know. We might even get some Tyrese Maxey minutes. Just don't play Mike Scott. Sixers and six. So the finals matchup would be Lakers versus Sixers, according to me. And that's everything I could ever want. I'm going Sixers here, and I don't have a logical reason why. Or if I do, I haven't thought about it. This is all hate. This beat is perfect for this. This is all hate that I have for LeBron snubbing us for the Lakers. You could have signed here. You could have came to Philly. You would have won these titles. You would not have missed a year in the playoffs. You'd still be in the East. We would have beat the Raptors. We would have went on and played the Warriors. And if everything still goes how it did, we win. And I get to watch LeBron and the Sixers defeat Steph Curry. I would have died of enjoyment. The first nigga to be so happy that he died would have been I. And we would have ran through the East again and won, and you'd have five rings. And we'd be here, you'd be here on the Sixers as we go to the finals again, and we beat the Jazz, and you'd have six. But you went to LA because it's LA. I can't blame you. But this is where you needed to be, man. And you're not here. You'll be on the other sidelines. And you'll lose. Because off of pure hate and animosity, I will will the Sixers to it. I will find a way to get finals tickets. I don't care where I'm sitting. I will be there. And you'll lose. That wraps up this episode of the Free State of Mind, episode 16. It's been real, guys. I got like 8 minutes till tip off. Let's get this episode out. Take it easy, y'all.